trying to wrap my head around the San Jose Sharks, and I know you can help me. This is a team that missed the playoffs last year, and right now, with a lead in the conference final, have accomplished what no Sharks team has ever done. It seemed like every year they'd find that banana peel. They'd find a way to implode. They've avoided it and actually looked very good doing it. Why is this team different than any other team we've seen in San Jose?
Well, you know, they had the GM of the Year award announced the other day in terms of who the finalists were. And I really was surprised that, Doug, considering you're allowed to vote after the second round of the playoffs, I was surprised that Doug Wilson didn't get a nomination, because I thought he had a great summer last summer. And if you look at everything he's done, Martin Jones, Joel Ward, Paul Martin, and Donskoy, who scored a big goal last night, he hit them all out of the park. And I just think they looked at what they were missing last year, and they said, we're going to fix this. And they did. They brought in four guys who have been impact players for them. Maybe you don't always notice them. I mean, the guys we notice the most are the Burnses, the Thorntons, the Coutures, and the Pavelskis. But those four guys have played critical roles on that team, and they have brought depth. Like, to me now, if you don't have depth on your roster, you don't have a chance. And you look at the two most dominant teams of the beginning of this decade, Chicago and Los Angeles, they were undone in these playoffs because they didn't have the depth, particularly on the blue line. And I look at San Jose, and I see a team that's deep, and I see a team that's fast. And those four guys that they brought in helped solve that problem.
Because you feel like this team right now, if they had a 3-0 lead, they wouldn't lose to anyone. Not the Kings a couple years ago. I mean, no one. They seem to have that. They're very comfortable. In the past, even when they've been in a series, it seems like at any time we could fall apart. Is it Jones? I mean, how big of it has been the goaltending? Because I looked this morning, and it's hard to believe Nabokov was their guy for like a decade, and they rode with Niemi.
Yeah, he was a good goalie.
And they rode with Niemi for four seasons. And, of course, people in Calgary like to point out that maybe it was Todd McLellan. I don't know if that's fair.
No, you know what? You're talking about the, like, McLellan.
Well, because he's an Oiler coach now. And
I see. No, that's ridiculous. I just think that last year, you know, teams get stale sometimes. I think it finally happened in Nashville. You know, Barry Trotz was there, 14 years? And it was just time for a change. Sometimes the voice needs to change. And, you know, 2 years ago after they collapsed in Game 7, that next year, it was a hard year. And I think there were people who looked at themselves and each other and said, we are just tired of listening to the same voices. And I think, in fairness to McLellan, I think he was as tired of them as they were of him. And I just think it was time for a change there. But it doesn't matter. If Doug Wilson doesn't go out and get those guys, it doesn't matter who the coach is. They weren't going to be good enough. I just think they upgraded their roster so well that it gave Peter DeBoer a chance. And the other thing, too, is, you know, it's funny. I was on radio in Toronto this morning, and I compared Joe Thornton to, like, your mother or father or your grandparents when they get to 85 years old and they just decide, you know what, I'm going to act and do as I want and I don't care anymore. And Joe Thornton has reached that point. He's like, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to play. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to be happy and I'm going to play. Mm-hmm. And he just looks like a guy who's like, I'm freed of whatever burden I felt I had early in my career. I'm just going to play. And he looks happy. And you know what? He's been brilliant. He is getting no World Cup love. And I got to tell you, on an NHL rink, Dean, he could be on my team very easily.
And it's funny because you would have the whole, I'm going to be happy and play. I mean, the off season ago, he got stripped of the C and it was sort of the staring contest between him and the GM in a situation that I'm sure at least one of the two wanted to be out of.
And don't forget, they blew up at each other last March.
Yeah.
You know, no, like, he blew up at Doug Wilson. And but they, you know what? They found common ground. And the one thing I know, I talked to him a little bit. He said that any doubt he's had was when he saw who San Jose brought in the summer. When he heard they were bringing in Martin And here they're bringing in Ward. I don't think these guys knew Donskoy that well. I think he was like kind of like an unknown quantity for them. But, you know, when he saw what they did, he was like, we have a chance. And he did say that he has said it, he loved what Wilson did last year. But I think you're right. Like, you know, he got the captaincy, and the captaincy stripped. You know, don't forget that when Marlowe didn't get a letter this year, he asked to be traded. But Thornton was like, you know what, I'm not going to worry about any of this stuff anymore. Like the other night in St. Louis, when those kids were dancing next to him, and he kind of danced with them a little
bit.
Yeah,
man. Yeah.
You know, he's not doing that 10, 12 years ago. And I think he's just finally freed himself of all the other BS. And you know what? Never mind playing hockey. That's the way to live life.
Yeah. I thought that as soon as I saw him doing that thing, squirting the water on the kids and dancing, never mind 10 years ago, 3-4 years ago,
yeah.
there was so much uneasiness and uncomfortable pressure around that team. It just feels like it's been lifted. I want to ask you about two more guys. What are we seeing in Martin Jones? Is he going to be one of the guys? Is he going to be a top five, top 10 guy for the foreseeable future? And in Brent Burns, are we in love with him because he's emerged as a great defenseman, or are we in love with what he does offensively? Defensively,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally do. And, you know, defense, you know, Warner's a great guy to ask this, because when Rhett grew up playing, what was a defenseman supposed to do? Yeah, some guys were offensive guys, like a Paul Coffey, or before him, Bobby Orr. But a lot of your job was, oh, guys coming in the zone, let's kill them. Let's go in front of the net and let's cross-check them 98 times in the back, and we'll slash them and we'll hack them. And, you know, you can't do that anymore. So defense is about as much, A, let's stop them from getting into our zone, and B, if failing to do that, let's get the puck out quick and down the ice quick. You know, Brent, it was interesting. The other day, when Peter DeBoer got the job last year, I asked him, is Brent Burns a forward defenseman? He goes, he's a defenseman. And the other day on the off day, I guess he was asked about that again. Like, do you see Brent Burns as a forward? And he says, look, let's just stop with that. I'm not going there. I'm not really even entertaining the idea. He's a defenseman. And, you know, for Team Canada, I thought, and because it was suggested to me, that they might take Burns as a forward. And that way, if a defenseman gets hurt, you can always put him back there. And Kiprios has just been saying, no, he's a defenseman, enough with this forward stuff. And now I believe it. But for Team Canada, you know, you've got two right-hand shots already on the team, Doughty and Weber. And now you've got two more spots for a righty D. And I see Burns, I see Letang, I see Pietrangelo, and the way those three guys have played in the playoffs, and you've also got P.K. Subban. How are you picking two of those four guys?
Yeah, and your boy Seabrook's not going either. Got news for you.
Yeah, he's, you know, Seabrook probably isn't going. But I'm taking Burns. He's going. So, and I got to tell you, like, Pietrangelo or Letang or Subban, that's a brutal call.
Do you think they are going to still be in love with that left-right thing? Because I know Babcock was at the Olympics.
Well, I've asked Babcock about that before. And because when he was in Anaheim and they went to the Stanley Cup final in 2003, they had six left-hand shots. And I said to him, and this was last year, actually, I said to him, you know, could you do that again? You know, why could you do it in 2003 and you can't do it now? And he goes, the game's a lot tighter now. It has changed in that 13 years. The forecheck, the straight lines, I think he's going to go left-right. I really do.
Chatting with Elliot Friedman, as always, here on a Friday. There's now been time to decompress in Nashville, Dallas, Washington, and in Brooklyn. Hearing anything in terms of potential changes? You make it to round two, there's a measure of success there, obviously, but maybe in Washington more specifically. Hearing anything out of those four cities?
Well, I think in, I really think in Washington, like, there was a Russian reporter who reached out to me yesterday that they heard that Washington was in on Radulov, and I had checked that, and I was told he's not going there. So, but I do think that they're going to add another forward. and probably somebody who's a speed guy at third line center. Brian McCullen told me in a visit there earlier this year that he realized this particular group had one more year before he has to do Kalsner and Kuznetsov's next contracts. So I think they will come back with mostly the same team. Dallas, you know, I think he's. I gotta think that Lettinen is done there. Whether he gets traded or he's bought out, I'm just not sure how you can come back with that guy. I think that experiment is enough, and he's got a lot of room on his blue line. I've had a couple GMs that they think this, especially if they know there's an expansion draft next year, they think this is going to be a crazy offseason for moves. And the teams that have cap room are going to have the ability to do some things. I think Dallas is one of those teams. They're going to have holes on their blue line. They're going to have cap room. I think Dallas is going to be in a position where they're going to do some creative things to make themselves better. I think the other thing that Dallas knows they have to do is, I think they're going to take a big run at a Jamie Benn extension. They know they can't go into next year like Tampa did with Stamkos.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Tampa-Stamkos thing has been a warning because, just as this whole year you've heard Stamkos at Toronto, if Jamie Benn starts next year as an unrestricted free agent, the Benn to Vancouver stuff, it's going to hang around them all year long. So I think they're going to take a big run to get that done. The Islanders, you know, the biggest question I have, and Gar Snow has said, it's not going to change anything. But they have new owners as of July 1st. That's when the ownership changes from Charles Wong to Stephen Ledecky and his new partner. And, you know, I'll tell you this. I'm curious to see if the Islanders, look, they're not, it doesn't look like they're signing a Pozo. There hasn't been a lot of talk with Nielsen. I wonder if they would ever be a Stamkos team. Like, they would look at themselves and say, new ownership, lots of cap room, him and Tavares are tight. I'm curious to see if there's any chance that they're a team that ends up being in the bidding for this.
Wow. Would you put him on the wing with him, or does Stamkos only go somewhere if they let him play the middle?
Well, I think you just put him in a – you say, you know what, you can do both.
Yeah.
Like, you know what, honestly, Ryan, now, like, you watch the Sharks. You watch, you know, what the Oilers are trying to do. I don't know if, these guys can play multiple positions. And if you're versatile in a cap world, it gives you, you know, so many options in terms of what you can do. At the end of the day, that's what I'd want if I was a team. I'd say to him, Steven, where do you want to play? Okay, you can play there, but sometimes you might try it here.
Yeah.
And I think that's only fair.
Arizona Coyotes, I know that they had the big change at general manager. They had that press conference, I guess, a couple weeks ago. And now more rumbling that basically the marriage in Glendale is going to be over very soon. What does that mean for the team on the ice heading into this offseason and next year?
Well, I just think they need closure, right? They need the ability to say, look, we're here and that's it. I think it's affected their ability to do business for a long time. You know, guys are like, all right, you know, what's the future? And that's the question they haven't been able to answer. They thought they were going to be able to answer it with Glendale. That obviously fell apart. But I just know at the end of the day, it's very hard to attract people to come to your team when, especially, you know, older free agents, when you don't know where you're going to be. And I think people look at the team itself, like in terms of the players, and they say, they got some good young guys here, and I'd be happy to play for them. I just don't know what the situation is. And at the end of the day, that's what they need to settle is, where are we playing and for how long?
So they've got 1 year left on their lease, if I'm correct. If there isn't a new arena downtown that they can share with the Suns, what then? Because Las Vegas, you don't need to expand to get there, do you?
Well, you know, I know that's what we all kind of wonder. You know, I'll tell you a story. Like, I've heard that people speculate that Arizona to Vegas thing, and I've been told every time I've checked it, I've been told that's not going to happen. So we'll see. But, you know, if worst comes to worst, now that Arizona State's going to have a team, you can play there. And
yeah, that's right.
I got
how big's that rink gonna be, though?
What's that?
Is it gonna be big enough?
I don't know what the plans are for the rink, but I'm just saying if you absolutely need somewhere to you can be there.
Yeah. Man, that's interesting for sure. Anything? Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I just have one for you, Elliot. It was this time last year that you started beating the drum on Artemi Panarin. You just mentioned Yunus Donskoy, how good he's been for the Sharks. What are we seeing in terms of a world championship showcase for guys that might be coming over to North America? I certainly wonder about Radulov. We hear so many different things on him in the last 6 months.
Well, Radulov, to me, I mean, it's been unreal. Like, every day, like, I don't know what to believe with Radulov. And I think that's just part and parcel of him and his mystery. I think he's coming. There are some people who think this is a negotiating ploy for more money in Russia. I don't know. I think he's coming. When he came over, when it was initially leaked that he was coming back, and it was so crazy there, Ryan, because he was supposed to be at a world championship training camp. And then we broke the story that he was actually in New York fielding offers for NHL teams. And the Russians, they were so pissed. Like, they were like, really? First of all, some guys reached out to me and said, that's not true. And I said, I'm telling you guys it's true. And it turned out to be true. And they were furious, the Russian national team. And now he hasn't played. And I think privately, they're questioning whether or not he's really hurt or he's just trying to protect his North American contract status. I think Florida's in there. I think Detroit's in there. I told you that I'd heard Washington. They denied it. Mm-hmm. Everybody has always linked them with Colorado. I can tell you that somebody said to me, and he's pretty trustworthy, has said it's not Colorado, but the rumor has stayed there. So I don't know where that's going to end up, but I think he is coming over. The other guy is Shipachov, who's leading Russia in scoring and led the prelims in scoring. Montreal was really one of the first teams to go at him hard, but I understand there's a ton of teams there now trying to get him. Like, I wouldn't even know how to handicap that race. I just think there's, as one GM told me, everybody's trying to sign him. So, you know, he's 28 years old. He's ready to play in North America. He's the guy who's probably your closest bet. You're hoping to be Panarin. Evgeny Dadonov, who played 55 games in Florida, he may be coming over. And the other guy is a Czech defenseman named Michael Kempny. And I know Buffalo, Chicago, and Vancouver were in big on him, and his possession numbers I heard in the tournament, at least before they played their quarterfinal game, were outstanding.
Last one for you, and I don't even know that you would have anything, and so don't feel the need to go on at length.
I'll make it up.
Okay, fair enough. Just kind of twofold. I have to ask you if you just anything more on the coaching here in Calgary. I don't suspect that's the case. We asked you Monday. You went at length on Jeff Ward. And number two, when Bob Hartley was fired the day after, or even that day, Sean Monahan was interviewed and had a comment, something to the effect of, yeah, the extension, the new contract, probably something coming soon. I was asked the other day, I don't have the answer. Have you heard anything on Monahan or Gaudreau and where that's at right now for the Flames?
I have not. You know, I know that business was a little bit on hold because Brad Treliving was going over to Russia. So I have not. I assume that when Treliving gets back, all of us are going to ask him these questions to see if it's gone anywhere. Yeah. So my expectation is not right now. On the coaching search, you know, the one thing I've just been told is that Anaheim and Calgary are going to be patient. And I think it's partially because, you know, as I said, Treliving's overseas. But I got to think there's somebody who's still in the playoffs who these teams are looking at and saying, we at least want to talk to them. And, you know, I wonder if that's like a Kirk Muller or Rick Bowness is a guy I know who'd really like to get in there. I just wonder if there's somebody, or maybe even God only knows, you know, Hitchcock's contract is up after this year. Could there be any potential chance he's not in St. Louis? I doubt it, but I have no idea.
Yeah.
I got to think that because Anaheim and Calgary haven't hired coaches yet, there's somebody who's not, or maybe it's somebody who's coaching in the American Hockey League playoffs now, like a Mike Stothers, or I don't know if Sheldon Keith yet, but I've got to think there's somebody who's available that these teams are saying, we still want to talk to them.
Great stuff, Elliot. Have a fine weekend, and we'll catch up with you. Hey, long weekend, what's Tuesday? You got time Tuesday for us?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Attaboy. Thank you, Elliot.
Now that you've got my right phone number in your Rolodex.
I guess that's what
is
it
that
is.
That what it was?
Yeah, I'm not sure what it was. Yeah.
Boomer.
I was worried. Thank you, Elliot.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Have a great long weekend, Calgary.
You bet.